Our scripture reading this morning is found in the book of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went out and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And he told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Where does the Easter Bunny go for a new tail? To the retail store. What do you call a rabbit with fleas? Bugs Bunny. What do you get when you pour hot water into a rabbit hole? Hot cross bunnies. Our Lenten journey has come to an end as we find ourselves next to an empty tomb and a missing body. I mean, can you imagine Mary Magdalene's shock of coming to Jesus' grave that first Easter morning? She has brought spices to anoint the lifeless body of her beloved teacher, who was hastily buried without preparation since the Sabbath was beginning. She wondered, how was she going to move that large stone that was blocking the entrance to his tomb? I mean, imagine her confusion when she finds the stone rolled away and the grave is empty. It was indeed a grave situation. Mary Magdalene didn't know who had come for Jesus. She had seen him die. She was one of the few women at the cross who stayed to the final moments. She had seen his limp and broken body taken down from that diabolical Roman instrument of torture, the cross. She had 48 hours later that her Lord still lay lifeless in that tomb. And instead, she discovered that wasn't where he was supposed to be. And this is a truth that many of us have yet to come to understand. Jesus so often isn't where he is supposed to be. I mean, it's a reality that speaks to the way we often project our own expectations onto God, expecting God to show up in ways that we can understand or predict. I mean, Mary expected to find a lifeless body, but was instead met by the risen Christ. Imagining the scene, we can't be sure which was the bigger shock, finding the empty tomb or being scared witless when Jesus finds her wandering among the tombs and muttering to herself. I mean, it can be shocking when Jesus shows up when we least expect it. Martha expected Jesus to show up before her brother Lazarus died, not afterward. The woman was facing a grave situation, and she basically told Jesus to his face, "You're late. When we needed you most, you were a no-show. Thanks for nothing." We are accustomed to looking for Jesus in all the right places, and we're surprised if we don't see rituals, traditions, churches or cathedrals, sacred music, and so on. But we are nonplussed when he acts outside of those boundaries. The empty tomb symbolizes a new reality, one that challenges our assumptions and invites us to encounter Christ in unexpected ways. In the end, Jesus did show up for Martha and Mary. The truth is, Jesus might not seem to be present when we want him to be present, but he's there when he needs to be there. Frequently, Jesus is at work in the unseen, in the brokenness, in the thin places, in the ordinariness of life, where we often seek to forget about him. And the other principles of the gospel account recorded in our text besides Mary are Peter and John, future apostles and authors of sacred texts. They run to the tomb, racing to see for themselves what Mary has reported. And upon arriving, they see the burial linens, but no body. The Bible says that they saw and believed, even though they did not fully understand the import of what was happening. Much like our own journey, in which we can have an intellectual understanding of what's going on, but be clueless of its significance. Peter and John, these two great pillars of the early and ancient church, entered the tomb and saw that it was devoid of a body and believed. They believed first. Understanding would come later. And this is precisely the point that Jesus makes to the disciple Thomas, who would later, according to Scripture, become a missionary, venturing as far east as India. After Jesus showed Thomas the stigmata, which Thomas refused to touch, Jesus said, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." For Thomas, seeing was believing. So the empty tomb, while initially a source of distress, becomes the ultimate symbol of hope. In a world filled with uncertainty and disruption, fake news, slow internet access, delayed flights, climate change, children who kill children, poverty and disease, the resurrection of Jesus provides hope that change and redemption are possible. And we can hold because the resurrection represents God's victory over death. Because he was raised from the dead, we too have the promise of resurrection. Thus, for believers, death is not the end of the story. This hope is transformative, giving us a new perspective of life and death. When we are faced with grief and loss, the resurrection reminds us that death does not have the final word. The resurrection also gives us hope for the present. The hope of the resurrection isn't only for the future. It is a hope that impacts how we live today. The resurrection empowers us to live differently. Those chains of sin and fear or helplessness, we shed them as though they are threads of gossamer. Post-resurrection believers live with courage, faith, and hope. People of hope are living proof that the resurrection is real, not just as a historical event, but a daily reality in the way we live, in the way we love, and the way we serve others. The resurrection of Jesus, therefore, reminds us that death has been defeated, that God's power is greater than our darkest moments, and that new life is always possible. The hope of the resurrection is for all who believe, and it transforms how we see the world and how we live our lives. On this Easter Sunday, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us remember that Jesus is likely to turn up when we least expect him. And keep in mind that our lives and our journeys toward and that there is hope for both the now and the hereafter. When we face grave situations, the empty tomb reminds us of an important truth, one that is revisited in the chorus of Bill Gaither's well-known worship song. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. May we live in the hope of the resurrection today and always. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.